Alex Major of Shepard Mullen, writing on the Government Contracts, Investigations, and International Trade blog about some changes coming for Defense Department contractors and subcontractors. You may have been drafted. Alex, thanks very much for your time today. How is it that contractors and subcontractors may have been drafted? What is new that they have to be aware of? Thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me. The big change, and it's in line with the interim rules right now that have been changed under the DFARS, but there was at one point something called the Department of Defense Industrial-Based Cybersecurity Activity. It was a voluntary program. And late last week, those regulations, which are 32 CFR 236, those regulations were changed. And now, in place of this voluntary program that was intended to seek out defense industrial-based participants that have been vetted and learn from them with regards to cybersecurity, now, in line with the interim rules, they have been imparted now with a reporting requirement to report cyber incidents.
And you write, the Defense Industrial Base, CSIA, has morphed into something of a hybrid, a combination of both mandatory requirements and voluntary memberships that DoD contractors should understand and carefully consider. What do they need to understand about the changes in these regulations?
The first thing they need to understand is that it applies to them. In the past, like I said, it was a voluntary program, but now, as the regulations are currently written, it does apply to all defense contractors, all. And it's no voluntary, no sign-up. It's all contractors. The voluntary part, however, is still there. So it's almost as if it's like the back room of the regulation, if you will, where if you want to, you can also apply to be part of the voluntary program that once was. So it really has now a mandatory reporting requirement for a broadly based cyber incident report for broadly defined covered defense information. And if people are familiar with the interim rules, the DFARS interim rules with regards to cybersecurity that was released at the end of August, it's the same definitions. So very, very broadly based requirements and being given to contractors.
The wrinkle or important footnote here, I suppose, is you write, prime contractors are required to flow down the cyber incident reporting requirements of this part to their subcontractors as appropriate. So this is going to require what new activity on the part of primes and what new activity on the part of subs, Alex?
That is a huge question, and that is a huge issue that contractors are facing. It will require what exactly is required is probably too much to get into now. But the problem we're facing, and I think contractors or prime contractors and subs are going to face, is the rule, the regulation, or the interim rule and the regulation are a little nebulous on exactly how primes and subs and lower subs are supposed to accomplish this this flowdown and almost a vetting process to the lower tier. So it's kind of going to be up in the air a little bit, and that's one of the things I know that the ABA is commenting on in terms of trying to get a better sense of what the DoD is expecting in terms of this rule.
We're almost a week out from the announcement of this, Alex. Do we have any sense that DoD sees the validity of that kind of question, or is this something that they think, or at least are acting like at this point, well, it's not a big deal and we'll get around to it?
I don't know, and the reason I say that is because the comments on the interim rules are due back, I'm going to say, next week as well. So I'm curious to find out what DoD is going to do in response to those comments. They initially sought comments to the interim rules from smaller businesses to see, you know, how is this going to affect you. But I know for a fact that many large companies are bulking and saying, you know, you're providing a lot of non-commercial requirements to this new rule, and a lot of it is just not available to commercial companies that maybe have one leg in and one leg out of the defense industry. So there's it remains to be seen what DoD is exactly going to do and how much they plan to change the rules,
Alex,
and the regulation.
Alex Major of Shepard Mullen writing about new requirements for DoD contractors and subs. The list that you write here under the rapid reporting requirement is very long and very detailed. When you get down to the letter T on a lettered bullet list, that's when you know you've got a lot of stuff, Alex. What there is potentially burdensome, if anything, for the companies that are supposed to be doing this reporting?
Well, I think the reporting incident itself is rather lockstep. There are going to be specific things, especially in the time requirement, in the 72-hour time requirement, that contractors and primes, or primes and subs, are going to have to know. The hard part is when you look at this list, since we're talking about this list, the description of technique or method used in the cyber incident. Within 72 hours of knowing an incident or knowing something happened, that is going to require a contractor or a prime to do some serious analysis and to forensically capture the event, as you will, if you will. So they'll have to not only know it happened, they'll have to freeze their systems, they'll have to take a forensic snapshot, they're going to have to retain the malicious code that caused it, or maybe the malicious code that they identified. That is a lot to do in 72 hours, and then report on it. And then by reporting on it, there is a concept of certification, and are you certifying it, and are you telling the truth, or is this a False Claims Act? So it becomes very cumbersome, I think, for primes and subs in regards to trying to report this as quickly. They need to do it quickly, but at the same time, they need to be careful when they're reporting it how they're reporting it.
As I'm listening to you between the lines, Alex, I hear two things. I hear a lot of money to do all of that when you're talking about serious analysis, forensic, retaining malicious codes, doing all of that within 72 hours. And the other thing that I hear is a whole lot of triage and a whole lot of understanding about things that may or may not be within the bailiwick of the company that has suffered the cyber incident.
Absolutely, and that is why we are preaching and proselytizing on the importance of preparedness. You have to be prepared, and you have to be prepared for things to go sideways. And that's one of the things that we're trying to help our clients with, is walking them through the process and getting a plan in place and then exercising that plan. I'm a military guy. We're talking with military customers about their military data. Yes, we're going to exercise you. We are going to get in a situation where if you have a firefight or a cyber incident, you know how to react and you're not caught off guard. So that's what companies need to do in order to prepare for these regulations and to prepare for the interim rules, because I don't suspect they're going to change that much.
I also hear one other thing, and that is exposure. When you talk about things like potentially being subject to false claims and that kind of thing, I mean, that's the type of situation that puts companies out of business.
Absolutely. And I think that both contractors and contractors as well as the agencies, specifically, you know, DOD, are still trying to feel their way around cybersecurity requirements. And I guarantee you that the people that are probably doing their best right now at understanding these rules and how people may or may not be violating them are plaintiff's attorneys and or key TAM relators and or the DOJ. And so I suspect that there could be situations where this is just rife with opportunities, negative for the contractors and the subs, the primes and the subs, something that key time relators will pounce on.
Final thought on the exposure idea too. When you're filling out that report, that 72-hour report, one potential risk of exposure is I have a hard time imagining the Defense Department is going to like the answer, "We're not sure yet." I think they're going to want to know for sure what's going on, whether you do or not, within 72 hours. There's going to be a lot of pressure on these companies as well, I imagine.
I think so, but I think one of the reasons that I don't think the DOD is going to be playing gotcha. They're going to be playing, "Oh no, how can we help?" As long as there are plans in place and as long as companies took reasonable efforts and reasonable measures pursuant to NIST and FIPS and all the chains of acronyms related to cybersecurity. So I agree with you that they might not be happy with that answer, but hopefully they will understand the answer. And that's why, you know, you might be required or might need to get the FBI involved, the Secret Service involved, and a host of agencies. You might have to open your door to them just to ensure the government that, no, we're trying to play ball. But, you know, the problem is the enemies that our data are facing are very, very, very tenacious and really hard to stop.